So I'd be talking for a while on schizophrenia first. Determined diagnosis, schizophrenic reaction, acute undifferentiated, condition improved. What I just read to you appears 60 some years ago on my medical records at McLean Hospital, which have never been erased. This appears on my medical records when I was locked up and treated against my will in 1950 to 51. This is a quote from Thomas Szasz, who's arguably the most outstanding critic of psychiatry. He himself is a psychiatrist. He's written over 20 books, and he's extremely critical, and they don't like him in Canada. That's why he's not invited to speak generally on the CBC and others, because many of the producers don't want to recognize people who are critical of this sacred system we call mental health in Canada and other places. Quote, psychiatry has never been, is not now, and probably never will be a bona fide medical diagnostic term. Psychiatrists don't know what schizophrenia is and don't know how to diagnose it. Schizophrenia has more to do with freedom and slavery than with health and disease, more with politics than genetics. The ceaseless manufacture of disease names in psychiatry, together with the total lack of evidence of them, from agoraphobia to schizophrenia, is the greatest scientific scandal of our age. This was written in 1976. By Dr. Szasz, whom I met once in Portland, Oregon, when he was speaking out about human rights and civil rights that psychiatric survivors generally lack or are not informed about. Although Szasz and I part company in some ways, because he feels that he believes that there is possibility of a free choice in the system, but unfortunately, this is not the case when one is locked up. One way to libel, to dehumanize, and sometimes destroy people you don't like is to label them schizophrenic, psychotic, or paranoid. I should know in 1951, when I was 20 years old, the shrinks labeled and stigmatized me as schizophrenic, while I was struggling with a common identity crisis that neither my family nor the psychiatrists recognized. I was very confused, anxious, rebelling, as many teenagers do, or young adolescents, rebelling against my parents' middle-class values and against authority generally. I was soon psychiatrized, forcibly drugged, locked up, lied to, and lied about. During this psychiatric imprisonment, my civil rights and human rights were violated, and by the way, millions have experienced similar. Many more have experienced just what I did over 60 years ago. My civil rights and human rights are violated, as the rights of countless psychiatric survivors still are. My cousin Hope was also labeled schizophrenic, mainly because of her, quote, temper tantrums she had in the course of her teenage rebelliousness, and she got locked up too, and unfortunately is no longer alive. She OD'd. Psychiatric labels such as psychosis and mental illness, and especially schizophrenia, have very serious consequences, unlike medical diagnoses. I didn't mean to belittle that. I mean, there are serious medical diagnoses. Of course, we can die from lots of different things, cancer, heart, and so forth. But I'm talking about mainly social and political and psychological consequences of being labeled in psychiatry. They frequently and freedom. They, I'm talking about psychiatric labels, frequently result in years of incarceration on locked psychiatric wards, forced drugging, series of electroshocks, discrimination by employers, resulting in job demotions, ruined careers, and long-term unemployment. Rejection by friends and family, marginalization, lifelong stigmatization, and disability, homelessness, poverty, and suicide. Some of the consequences of psychiatry's so-called gender-neutral or medically neutral diagnoses. Consider the term paranoid schizophrenia. Probably the most stigmatizing and damning diagnostic label in psychiatry, or perhaps in the history of medicine. In plain English, the term means a person who acts weird or strange, expresses false beliefs that are pathologized as delusions, hears voices or sees visions, called hallucinations, and is judged, quote, out of touch with reality. People given this label are thought to be so dangerous and unpredictable that they must be locked up and forcibly treated. This, in short, is social control. It's not medical science, as the psychiatrists would have us believe. Social control. I'll come back to this theme again because it is crucial in the understanding, and anyone who wants to do an analysis of the political implications of psychiatric diagnosis. Naturally, you won't find the above description, what I just read to you, in any psychiatric textbook or the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the DSM. Psychiatry's Bible of diagnoses that are essentially moral judgments and instances of character assassination. Now, I want to read to you this Bible's definition or the criteria of schizophrenia. Before the psychiatrists label you, this is what they claim they look for. Characteristic symptoms, two or more of the following, each present for a significant portion of time during a one-month period or less if successfully treated. One, delusions. Two, hallucinations. Three, disorganized speech, in brackets, frequent derailment or incoherence. And I think that would cover what psychiatrists sometimes call word salad. Four, grossly disorganized or catatonic behavior. Five, negative symptoms, such as affective flattening, that is emotional flatness, or avolition or elogia, which is lack of desire or motivation. These are so-called symptoms. In fact, these are types of behavior which are clearly within the spectrum of normality, of what people call normal everyday behavior. But in the hands of psychiatrists, they become distorted, twisted, so that they are made into symptoms of a disease inside the person. There's no mention here, no consideration of social political factors that drive people into crisis, such as poverty, such as homelessness, such as grieving, loss of a loved person, or demotion, or separation. So I just thought I'd give you their definition of what they think is paranoid schizophrenia, but there's one other thing on the next page. Paranoid, their definition. Preoccupation with one or more delusions, which are false beliefs, to put it in plain language, or frequent auditory hallucinations. B, none of the following is prominent: disorganized speech, disorganized or catatonic behavior, blah, blah, blah. May I remind everybody that I just want to say what they consider disorganized speech or people who are labeled schizophrenia is often metaphor or poetic language. When people get sometimes very upset or try to get in touch with their inner self or their vision, they speak poetically, disjointedly. And here they call it a symptom. This is clearly within the usual broad range of human communication. But psychiatrists, if you don't speak according to how they expect you to speak logically and in sentences, then it's a symptom. Just thought I'd mention that. Now, it is a widespread and long-standing belief that schizophrenia means split personality. It doesn't mean anything of the sort. When Bleuler, the psychiatrist from Austria in the early part of the 20th century, used the word schizophrenia and he coined the term, he meant a separation between intellect and emotion. There seemed to be that people weren't integrated somehow. The emotional part of us and the intellectual part of us weren't working together or on the same wavelength. And he found that, you know, and he, unfortunately, he medicalized it. But it doesn't mean a split the way the media and others said. It doesn't mean multiple personality the way the media cavalierly use the term inaccurately. The word actually refers, as I said, to people who are expressing dissident, mystical, or spiritual beliefs and acting in unconventional ways, perhaps speaking poetically, as I was mentioning, or in metaphors that most people can't or don't want to understand. When challenged, psychiatrists routinely fail to rationally describe or define the term out of touch with reality. What the hell does that mean? Whose reality, may I ask? Do psychiatrists have a monopoly on definition of reality? It seems that they're trying to. We let them define reality for us. Everybody has her or his own reality. And you have a right to hold on and to use that the way you see fit, but no one else has a right to define reality for you. But the psychiatrists claim it's perfectly okay. They never did come up with an adequate explanation of what out of touch with reality means anyway. It's a hoax. It's ridiculous. No one knows what real reality is, not even the physicist or Einstein. Theories, yes. And there are many definitions of schizophrenia, psychosis, mental illness, mental health, as there are mental health professionals. Like mental illness, schizophrenia exists only in the minds of the social controllers and stigmaticians, the psychiatrists. In a classic social experiment conducted in the early 1970s, some of you may have heard of Rosenhan, several pseudo-patients, university graduate students, housewives, non-professionals, get this, they presented themselves at different psychiatric hospitals on the east and west coast of the United States, where they simply repeated the word thud. That's all they said, thud. Guess what? All were promptly admitted to the psychiatric hospital. These are people who've never been in a psychiatric hospital before, never been diagnosed as mentally ill. Not only were they admitted, they were drugged. And for periods of up to 2 weeks, the real patients on the ward knew the pseudo patients were faking, but the psychiatrist didn't. The psychiatrist didn't, yes, Kevin.
Can I have the name of the person who did that?
Yeah, Rosenhan. I think it's in the list of recommended readings that, but it's R-O-S-E-N-H-A-N. Dan Rosenhan shook up the psychiatric establishment. Guess what? He wasn't, there was two phases to his research. The second phase was this. This is a Stanford psychologist, not a psychiatrist. He simply announced to one staff member at another teaching research hospital that I'm going to send you some pseudo patients within a 3-month period who will try to get admitted to your institution. A total of 193 patients were admitted during this follow-up period. However, not one pseudo patient came to the hospital. Not one. In this brilliant social experiment, Rosenhan concluded that psychiatrists cannot distinguish the sane from the insane. His study sent shockwaves, which throughout the establishment, and not surprisingly, the Canadian Psychiatric Association, in its position papers generally on schizophrenia and others, and the American Psychiatric Association rarely have ever bothered to mention this. It's too embarrassing, much too embarrassing. They can't tell the difference. And yet they get paid hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to drug people, lock them up, and shock them. In today's psychiatric journals, researchers, that is rarely if ever they refer to the Rosenhan study. The schizophrenia is the most controversial, harmful, as I said, stigmatizing label in psychiatry. It's a tragic myth, actually. The medical and psychiatric establishments claim it refers to a disease. They think it's a disease, a brain disease. The Canadian Schizophrenia Society keeps this propaganda steady stream going. It's a disease of the brain, it's a disease of the brain. They have yet to come out with any credible medical evidence to back it up. There's been no credible, and I'll stand by this statement, there's been no credible scientific evidence published so far to support that the claim by psychiatrists and their supporters in the media, I should add, the mainstream media, that schizophrenia is a brain disorder or form of mental illness. It's a fraud. It's a damn lie. And they're getting away with it. You have evidence? Let's see it. They can't come up with it. I've got something else to tell you about lack of evidence. Oh, I should add, before I get into the lack of evidence for any mental illness, that the Austrian psychiatrist, or the Swiss psychiatrist, Eugen Bleuler, who coined the term schizophrenia, reversed his stand. He initially claimed it was a disease, then he wrote another book claiming it really isn't, and he criticized psychiatrists, his colleagues, for perpetuating the myth that schizophrenia is a disease. One of the few, and it took a lot of guts to criticize your own colleagues at the turn of the century. It still takes guts. Unfortunately, there are very few psychiatrists that are willing to criticize their brothers and sisters when they're wrong. In the 1950s, psychiatrists began to use neuroleptics, otherwise in the popular, among the general population, they're called major tranquilizers or antipsychotic drugs. These drugs, extremely powerful, block the brain's production of dopamine, a basic chemical necessary in transmitting nerve impulses in our brain. So the brain talks to itself, talks to you. So this is how your brain functions. You have to have dopamine, among other neurotransmitters. based on their observation that neuroleptics controlled, often by immobilizing many of their so-called schizophrenic patients, psychiatrists erroneously concluded that schizophrenia must be a disease caused by an excess of dopamine. This is still the common belief, even though there has been no credible evidence of the dopamine hypothesis. In fact, it's been thoroughly discredited, and I've got two sources that I can give to you for those who want to follow that up. It's been thoroughly discredited. Yet, what do we hear? Oh, it's a, you have a chemical imbalance of the brain. Excuse me, the chemical imbalances that, if we have any, are caused by the drugs that psychiatrists prescribe. No one has established a baseline of chemical balance in the brain so far, yet the psychiatrists keep mouthing off about chemical imbalance. This is nonsense. This is not science. There's no evidence. Psychiatrists have also ignored, and I must add that it's the neuroleptics that are mainly given to people labeled schizophrenics. These don't cure. There's no curative value in the neuroleptics. What they do, it chemically control people, and many of our brothers and sisters who've been locked up feel that and rightly complain that it makes them feel like a zombie. They've lost feeling, lost virtually all feeling, and become very disoriented. So they're giving these drugs, which I already talked about in the previous lecture, which in fact are poisons to the system, which are called side effects. The neuroleptics, it's well known now, can cause brain damage. Of course, other drugs too, including the antidepressants, but we're talking mainly about schizophrenia now. Now, the cause of schizophrenia, for those who still feel that it exists, is generally said to be hereditary. That's a lie. For example, some researchers claim to have discovered genetic abnormalities on one chromosome, but the genetic link is based on the fact that members of a few families were diagnosed schizophrenic. An uncle, an aunt maybe, a cousin, who knows? However, many scientific studies have failed to find a genetic link, and I have a reference for this, at least one. Even though the scientific jury is still out on the hereditary factor, psychiatrists and their supporters, such as the Canadian Schizophrenia Society, formerly Friends of Schizophrenics, I would not like to be a friend of that organization, mostly relatives of people labeled schizophrenic who lobby for greater ease of psychiatric incarceration and forced treatment. That's what this society does. Therefore, give the schizophrenics a lot of pills and lock them up. Lock up my daughter, lock up my brother, lock up my father. And they rationalize it, and they think they're doing their relatives a favor, some favor. And I should add about another organization that is complicit in propagating the myth of schizophrenia is the Canadian Mental Health Association, CMHA. This is a reformist, government-funded organization of consumers, compliant psychiatric survivors, mental health professionals, and advocates that promote psychiatry's medical model. Now, in Ontario and a few other provinces, a very bad development happened in the last few years, where I'm talking about a law called Community Treatment Orders, CTO. Eric Fabris, a friend and very brilliant author, has written a book about this, Tranquil Prisons, about community treatment orders where psychiatrists can forcibly treat you after they release you in the community. It's only in psychiatry that they can forcibly treat you when you're released against your will, when they release you in the community. Anyway, these orders are allowed under an amendment to Ontario's Mental Health Act that gives psychiatrists and other doctors even greater power than they already had to force patients to take medication and confine them if they refuse, even in the complete absence of any evidence that they're dangerous. Previously, involuntary committal required such evidence. Anyway, in reality, psychiatrists acknowledge that they are unable to predict dangerous. That's a fact, but they don't like to admit it. Nevertheless, they still commit large numbers of innocent and non-violent citizens to psycho prisons, refusing to concede that the vast majority of schizophrenics and other mentally ill people are neither dangerous nor violent. Myth stereotypes of the violent mental patient, usually labeled schizophrenic, or the seriously mentally ill, but that in quotes, continue to dominate the mainstream media and thus form public opinion. Meanwhile, dangerous brain-damaging drugs such as Haldol, Thorazine, Modicate, and the atypical, so-called atypical or new generation of neuroleptics such as Zyprexa and Risperdal, among many others, keep being pumped into people labeled schizophrenic so that millions of people, and I'm not exaggerating, millions of people around the world continue to be treated, I always put that in quotes, locked up against their will and dehumanized for their strange or nonconformist behavior. Not symptoms, for their behavior. Now, the Canadian government, the Ontario government, you name it, are doing this. You know, just, we like to look to other countries that have totalitarian regimes where people are locked up on flimsy reasons or because they criticize the state, which is going on in Syria and Egypt and others where the Arab Spring is going on. But we do it here. We do it here. But you won't find that admission in the Globe and Mail or the CBC or the Toronto Star. We lock up people. We label them and lock them up because what? Because some people think they're a nuisance? No, because they think they're mentally ill and need treatment. I wish I could paraphrase, but it's a brilliant quote. Something about, I'm only doing this for your own good. That some of the worst atrocities are done by the authorities when they say, I'm only doing this for your own good, which is quite telling in its own words. So psychiatrists agree that this is okay. No, it's okay. Even if they do not yet know the cause of schizophrenia, which is non-existent, of course they won't admit that, but let's just buy, for 100 years, over 100 years of research, they say, trust us. We know what we're doing. We can recognize a disease, a schizophrenia, when we see one. Well, Rosenhan, as we just found out, says, you guys can't. So don't tell us that you can recognize people labeled schizophrenia or bipolar or whatever, and all the other personality disorder, borderline, ADHD. You guys can't, because you can't even agree among yourselves. So don't tell us that you can predict or recognize. In their 1980 book, Schizophrenia, Medical Diagnosis or Moral Verdict, research psychologists Theodore Sarbin and James Mancuso did discredit the concept of schizophrenia in a comprehensive and critical review of over 300 studies, well over 300 studies that they did. This is over 30 years ago. They assert that the term schizophrenia is actually a moral judgment. I repeat, a moral judgment, okay? Referring to rule-violating conduct, breaking the rules. Adolescents do it all the time. Scientists, creative people do it all the time. Breaking rules. That's essentially what people are being labeled for breaking a rule or a conventional value. I often thought, well, why not call people locked up, you usually for this, especially people labeled schizophrenic, political prisoners. They're political prisoners of psychiatry. For their views, for their speech, for their behavior. It has nothing to do with physical or biological symptoms because there are none. Anyway, now it wouldn't matter so much if the consequences of this fraudulent label weren't so serious. This is not trivial stuff we're talking about. The fact is, the label schizophrenia almost always results in people being locked up, sometimes indefinitely, as some people at Penetang, okay? Lots of them are locked up indefinitely. Cam H, oh yeah. They don't know when they're coming out, a lot of them. Where they're heavily drugged, massively drugged, and locked up without a trial. Every mental health act, especially if you're labeled seriously mentally ill or schizophrenic, you get no trial, unless you get a lawyer, which costs a lot of money, to help you to fight it. You're stuck at the mercy of psychiatrists who are judge, sentencer, stigmatician, diagnostician, judge, and jury, all rolled into one. Because they decide when you get out. And people labeled schizophrenic get out much later and get drugged much heavier than other people who are not. And if you're black, and if you're a new immigrant and poor, you don't get any special treatment, believe me. Well, these treatment you get will be more damaging. And I should add that people labeled schizophrenia generally lack the necessary financial resources, social support, political and legal skills to combat the mental health ads that have been posted on public transit vehicles. I used to see this schizophrenia. Some of you may have seen it. Remember many years ago they had a big ad, schizophrenia? I think that was from CAMH. I'm not sure where. Maybe somebody knows. But they were, they had a big ad of people, different faces on the TTC. Something to do with schizophrenia and the source of, I'm not sure whether that came from the Canadian Schizophrenia Society, but I wouldn't be surprised, or CAMH, I wouldn't be surprised at that either. And I was encouraging them to take it down, but I didn't succeed. The ads, the mental health ads, and the spiel, the usual hype, on the CBC, you know, mental health and depression and this and the, you know. It's all cloaked in the medical model. It's a disease, disease, the disease. No evidence. Just like diabetes? Oh, really? Is it? It's been no evidence. But this is the hype. This is the hype that people aren't, you know, that we should be challenging. This is bald-faced lies. I'm just talking about that the labeling going on for people who dare to be too different generally is still going on. And the media generally are telling these psychiatric myths and lies. Now, let me tell you something. I just want to read some excerpts of a letter to the editor that I wrote. Actually, it's part of a review that I wrote of Richard Gosden, a lecturer in Australia, who wrote a very good book called Punishing the Patient, about misunderstanding and mistreating schizophrenia. And I'll just read some excerpts from my review. That Australian-based psychiatric critic and U University lecturer Richard Gosden challenges several sacred cows of modern psychiatry the alleged validity of psychiatric labels, this one, in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, Psychiatry's Bible of Moral Judgments and Modern Version of the Inquisition's Witch Hunting Manual, Malleus Maleficarum. I don't want to go on, I'll just say there have been others nowadays in academia that have started to challenge, and in the psychiatric system, that have started to challenge the concept of schizophrenia. And I will just mention an excellent statement, in my opinion, of Peter Breggin. Peter Breggin is a dissident psychiatrist in the United States, and I certainly recommend this book, Toxic Psychiatry. Toxic Psychiatry, it's in the recommended reading. Here's what he has to say about people labeled schizophrenics. These people are not biologically defective or inherently different from the rest of us. They are not afflicted with a brain disorder or the disease. They are undergoing a psycho-spiritual crisis. Psycho-spiritual crisis. Usually surrounding issues of basic identity and shame, and typically with feelings of outrage and overwhelm. They communicate in metaphors that often hint at the heart of their problems. The only reason to call them schizophrenic is to justify the psychiatric establishment and its treatments. By refusing to diagnose or label people who already feel rejected and humiliated, we welcome them back to the human community and promote humane, respectful, and loving attitudes toward them. And we help to prevent the rampant abuses we are documenting. I know Peter Breggin fairly well. He's one of the few psychiatrists that I respect because he dares to criticize, like Thomas Zaz. He's not a yes man. He knows what myths are going on, and he dares to blow the whistle. And we need more whistleblowers, believe me. Now, I just want to end this part here on schizophrenia. I just want to say, as long as the myth of schizophrenia persists, millions of people will continue to suffer. And there will never be enough money to develop humane, non-medical approaches, such as safe houses, the soteria that the late psychiatrist Lauren Mosher had set up. The status quo of psychiatry, including its medical model, must be challenged if society is truly committed to the individual's right to control her or his own life.